reading to you from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians and with the 13th verse. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. You know, I've slowed down a little bit. I want a special prayer for me, though. Would you pray that God will be with me during this operation this month, and that I'll come through like a walk through the park, a walk through the garden. He said he'd be with us, and every time I've had to go to operations and surgery and stuff like that, I've always asked him to be with me, and he promises not just only me, but all of us. But I do appreciate your prayers. Well, listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a hot cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 17th Psalm, and let's read the 15th verse. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We've named this Ultimate Satisfaction. Now, this is a psalm of prayer, protection, and perfection. David says his prayer is sincere, his life clean. And I read in verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer, that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from the presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. Well, David he asked to be protected from the wicked. And let's read in verse 6. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. For the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in their steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portions in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with the hid treasures, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. Listen, friends. David looked forward to meeting his Lord. Verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Listen, this is a psalm that looks forward to ultimate satisfaction. Many desire and seek after things in this world that do not satisfy. Beloved, riches and momentary thrills do not satisfy. Even personal success and acclaim do not satisfy. Problems and dashed dreams may even keep the faithful from being satisfied. Well, when will we find true satisfaction? Well, I'll tell you. We will be satisfied when we see the Lord. David said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. This hope sustained David during severe trials, and it sustained him when the wicked oppressed him. Look at verse 9. For the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies which compass me about. You know, friends, years and years ago, where I got saved in Seattle, I was a roofing contractor, small roofing contractor, did most of the work myself, hired very few men. And, you know, I could go down to a restaurant, and here'd be three or four roofers' trucks from different companies, and we'd go in and we'd have coffee together and have laughs together and just enjoy the fellowship. Now, when I came here to Denver and I had a large roofing business, the roofers wouldn't speak to you. Other roofers, you were their enemies, and I never could find any fellowship with other roofers here in Denver, even the Christian ones. Now, so people, you know, they're wicked and they oppress us. And David, he said, my, I don't know here. I don't know what's going on. But it sustained him when he was surrounded by deadly enemies. Now listen, in his afflictions, Job looked forward to seeing his Redeemer. Job 19, it says, 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God. Now, folks, listen. People don't wonder if that book of Job is true. Well, remember when Satan confronted the Lord and said, you know what? The only reason that Job loves you and serves you is because he's a very wealthy man and you made him wealthy. He has lots of stock. He has a nice family. He's very wealthy. But I'll tell you what. I tell you, if you take away all of his wealth, and he said, and then we'll see what he'll do. Well, God accepted that challenge. However, remember what he said? His life is mine. You can't have it. Well, what did he do? He killed Satan killed all of his sons and daughters and his animals. And Job came down with a bad case of boils. And if you've never had one, you don't know what you're missing. And then all of his friends turned against him. Even his wife did. Curse God and die. Ah, but here's what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Boy, you talk about confidence. A lot of times, many of us, when we get down the dumps, we'll read the story of Job. But the Bible said, in the latter days, God restored all and much more than he ever had before. You see, the story of Job's been told down through the ages, and is still as fresh as the day it was told. Well, this hope encouraged him when he lost everything. It gave him strength when condemned by his friends. Do you have this blessed hope for the future? I surely hope so. You know, there's nothing any worse than to have an enemy. You know, one time there was a drunk guy here. He's an alcoholic. He was a roofing contractor. It wasn't a big one, but he was a small roofing contractor. And he walked into my office one day, and he stood in the doorway, and he had to lean against the door because he was drunk to stand up. He said, Mr. Moe, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, sure, what is it? What do you attribute your success to? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I knew you'd say that. I tried to share Christ with him. He left. He died 2 weeks later. Oh, friends, he knew that something was going on in our business and our life. Now, just because a business is successful is no sign that that man or that woman's a Christian. I want you to know that. And just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're always going to be successful. We had bad times and we had good times. I remember one time we were doing a big job at the atomic plant out here. And the man that we were, the contractor that we were working under, he was a demon and he was an alcoholic. And he was a pain in the neck. Anyway, one day he come out there and fired at my crew. I had a signed contract with the guy. Now, if I'd have known the difference, I could have fought him through the government, but I didn't do it. I let it go. Man, I tell you. And guess what he did? He went out and turned himself into an alcoholic rehab center in California and beat many of us out of thousands and thousands of dollars. Oh, it hurt. Yes, it sure did. Well, we will be satisfied when we are resurrected. He says, I shall be satisfied when I awake. Now, a lot of people don't know it, but they say, well, you know, death is kind of a strange thing. Well, sure, it's strange. But I'll tell you one thing. It's like shutting your eyes and waking up in heaven. Have you ever had a dream, good dream or bad dream? And boy, oh boy, you woke and you, man, you felt good. I remember one time finding a fortune. When I woke up, it was gone. I couldn't go back to sleep and redo the dream. But that's what it is. Now, David lived each day assured of his coming resurrection. If his enemies killed him, he would rise again. If he was buried, he would come out of the grave. Friends, if you know Jesus, we can live daily with the same confidence. Now, when our Lord arose, and so shall we. Now, Christ is the first fruits of the coming resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, I've said that before. Last week I told you, if there was no resurrection, we wouldn't have a blessed thing to talk about. It was predicted that Jesus would be crucified on the cross, and that he would be buried, and 3 days later he would arise. Well, don't you remember, after they crucified him, they buried him in that borrowed tomb and put that huge boulder that weighed tons in front of the entrance to that gate. Now, they said, we've got him. He ain't going to bother nobody no more. No. Oh, you want to think so? And they put guards in there just in case someone would try and steal his body. But it was the angel of the Lord that rolled away that big stone, and Jesus came forth out of that grave. My stars in the morning, the women run over and they said, he's not here, he's gone. He arose from the grave, and we sing that every Easter Sunday morning. Oh, he arose, praise God, he arose. He did it because he loved you. Now you say, wait a minute, Cecil, wait a minute, I don't love him. Well, then you're in bad shape. If you've not repented of your sins and invited Christ into your heart, you're lost, doomed and damned. And on the road to hell, no, God doesn't send you to hell. No, he does not. You send yourself to hell by deciding you would reject Jesus. Now, you can sin away your day of grace. You sure can. When you say no for the last time, you've sinned away your day of grace. I remember leading a man to Christ, and he was dying of cancer. Couldn't talk. Led him to Christ, and just a few days later, he went home to be with Jesus. Someone said, oh, Cecil, you mean that man who was an alcoholic, you believe that he is in heaven? I most assuredly do. Why? Because he asked the Lord to forgive him and to save him. He that cometh unto the Lord, he said, I'll no wise cast out. Here's what the problem is, people. The people say, I love God, but I don't want Jesus. Well, you can't get to God unless you come through Jesus, because he was the one that paid the penalty. He was the one that took your sins and my sins upon him, though he was sinless, and died that you might live. Isn't that beautiful? Listen to me. Look at it says in 1 Corinthians 15:5. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Our future victory over the grave gives present peace. We will be satisfied when we are like Jesus. When I awake with thy likeness. Beloved, listen to me. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God. Hey, friends, you know what? When he saves us, it's a gift. You can't earn it. That's unmerited. You don't deserve it. None of us, including this your preacher, does not deserve eternal life. But because of God's great love, he made a way. He paid for our sins, Jesus did. Paid in full. And when we decide in our lives that we're sick of this life that we lived, and we're willing to turn our back on the way of life, and we're willing to turn to Jesus and believe that he is the Son of God, then we can have eternal life. But it's by faith. When you pray, he's not, like I said before, he stands with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When I awake with thy likeness. When we rise, we will be like Christ. In 1 John 3:1-3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. My satisfaction is to come. I shall awake at the sound of the trump, wake to everlasting joy, because I arise in your likeness. Anticipation of being with Jesus brings forth a light to dark days. This purifying hope gives victory over temptation, and it encourages us all who feel they've failed again and again. Beloved, I know that you think that Christians are perfect. No, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. Do we have problems? Do we have temptation? Of course we do. My stars in the morning. Temptation's a terrible thing, but we all have it. And if you think you don't have it, you're not living in the real world. Let me ask you this, friend. Are you tired of searching for something to satisfy? Hey, I want to ask you another question. Have you ever, well, you're home by yourself and you want something to eat, and you're thinking, what do you think I would want that I really, really, really want? Well, you see, maybe I want a piece of pie. You go eat that piece of pie, and dad burn it, it didn't satisfy you. Well, maybe I'd like to have a roast beef sandwich. And you eat that roast beef sandwich, and it don't satisfy. Well, that's the way some people are. Are you tired of searching for something that's going to satisfy you? Well, let me tell you the answer. Come to Jesus and end your fruitless quest. Christ gives salvation, hope, and ultimate satisfaction. Accept his invitation and find the one who satisfies the soul. Now, let me turn over here to John 6:35, and let's see what it says here. 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You say, I'm too big a sinner. No, you're not. Oh, no, you're not too big a sinner. Well, you think you are, but you're not. I tell you, friend, it is awful difficult. I have to admit it. Here I'm an alcoholic for many years. Brought heartache to my family and to my friends. Didn't pay my bills. I was a disgust. I was a despicable, unruly, godless man. But you know, deep down in my heart, see, my mom and dad were Christians, and they died before I was, by the time I was 17, both of them were gone. But see, I saw what a Christian life was, and I knew there was something to it. And I knew, but hey, I've talked to 6 different preachers, and not one of them told me about Jesus. But preacher number 7 did, the perfect number. He told me that God loved me and that if I'd repent of my sins and cry out to God, he'd save me. Oh, I'm so thankful for Tom Baird. He's enjoying heaven. Oh my, is he enjoying heaven. And the stars in his crown are sparkling. Friends, listen, let me ask you this. Would you like to know Christ? You say, Cecil, I really would, but I don't understand it. Well, nor do I understand it all, but I tell you what, if you're confused tonight and yet you'd like to put your trust in Jesus, won't you get on a phone and call 303-471-8534. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend it during. I don't care where you go to church. But, dear friends, that's the reason I'm on this broadcast. Because I love you. But more than that, because God loved you. And he called me to tell the story of salvation. And I've tried to do it. Oh, I've failed the Lord many times, but he's never failed me. But if you'd like to trust the Lord, bow your head right now and say, dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. And Lord, right now, I'm turning my back on the old way of life, and I'm opening my heart to receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name. If you did that, please call me, 303-471-8534. I am concerned. If you can't afford to call, won't you call me, collect? I'll pay for the call. So I'm waiting right now. You give me a call. Don't you let the devil take you to hell.